Great. I have four committee members. This is John Doan's staff. We're at the Department of Finance offices, and we have some legislative staff here with a good contingent of press. Commissioner McElroy will be joining us shortly on the phone. He is not here at the Department of Finance offices. He's ill today, but will be calling in from his home.
John, I've just joined you. Good morning, folks.
Yes, this is Tom Rosen. I've just joined.
Got this. I'm here.
Connie Ruth, I just joined.
All right. John, let's... do you know who else is on? Did you hear them as they came in, or do we need to do a roll call?
Yes, I think I have them, but let me review what I have, and if you have, don't hear your name, please speak up. I have Lisa Phelan, John Gertzmeyer, Cal Larson, Gary Nordby, Chair McElroy, Tom Rosen, Scott Fiss, and Representative Ruth.
All right, we'll probably have more joining us as we go along, but let's go ahead in the interest of time and get started. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on which for some of you is a holiday. And I know some of our members were going to the Martin Luther King breakfast, and they may join in as we get started. The purpose of today's meeting is to review the recommendation of staff as to which of the proposals and concepts we're going to hear. For purposes of the meeting, we have defined the fully developed proposals that have location, funding source as proposals, and those that are either a site without financing or financing without a site as concepts. And we're recommending an hour's discussion tomorrow for the fully developed proposals and a number of the concepts to be discussed in about 20 minutes. And we're open to your additions or deletions from the, particularly the concepts, but either. I've had a couple of emails from people asking about Senator Ellen Anderson's public ownership proposal. Because Ellen Anderson is a member of the Senate and it's serious, and because we're giving Representative Hackbarth an opportunity to present his gaming proposal, we're recommending to hear it, but we're also open. It is not on point because it is a little different than the real purpose of the committee. But so when we have completed our work today, we'll be able to get an agenda for tomorrow's meeting and Wednesday's meeting out to you. I'm a little uncertain as to whether I'm going to be up to being in tomorrow or whether it's a good idea with some health problems. I think I have missed three work days in the last 32 years, so it doesn't happen very often, but I'm a little sick today. With that, let me turn it over to John and Brian that are going to go over the overview of submittals. Before we start, are there any questions?
Do we have a time for tomorrow's meeting yet?
John, is the beginning at 8 or 8:30? I've forgotten.
8:30.
And it's in room 5 of the state office building where we met the last time. And we'll be emailing or getting you out an agenda that has breaks and time for lunch. We're asking the people making proposals to leave good time for questions. I think there'll be a lot of discussion tomorrow, and then most of Wednesday's discussion as we go through both our reaction to the proposals, but how they fit into the strategy issues we've been talking about.
Commissioner, do we have a time yet? Don Gertzmeyer, do we have a time yet for the Wednesday meeting?
I believe it's also 8:30, Don.
8:30 both days, okay.
And also in the same place?
Yep. Okay.
All right. John and Brian, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. This is John Doan. I'll be doing the overview of the submittals, and then Brian will be talking a little bit more about the detail of each evaluation that was done. First of all, thank you for joining us. Happy Martin Luther King Day. And wanted to, first of all, talk about the 13 that were evaluated by staff with help from the consultants hired by the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission. The 13 were evaluated based on the criteria that they were complete, or at least complete enough in concept so that we could actually move further in the analysis process. Beyond that, the staff is recommending 10 submittals for the for presentation to the committee, and of course this is merely the staff recommendation, and the committee should will in this call deliberate regarding both the or who the presenters will be. One quick note on the recommendation of staff: we have removed one person from that list of 10, so now it should be 9 for the recommendation, and that one that is being withdrawn from staff as a recommendation is Kevin Von Felt. Commissioner, would you like to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, a little bit. It is a gaming proposal not dissimilar from some other gaming proposals, and he doesn't have site control or an option or any control of the land. And in the interest of time, we can certainly hear it if people are interested, but I don't think it rises quite to the level of interest of others. And the concepts are almost being heard as an example of the possible.
Which one is that? What's that one look like?
It's it's located in the city of Eagan. It's an amusement park with a casino.
Eagan Sports Entertainment Complex submission, is that the one?
That's the one.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, John.
So the staff is recommending 9 of these submittals, and they are Anoka County / City of Blaine, City of Eden Prairie.
Wait a minute. Now, what's the first one? I got them all spread out here.
The first one is Anoka County, City of Blaine.
But, John, the display or the document has the name of the development on it.
Which is called the Reserve.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Kind of a green, kind of shimmery, translucent piece. The second is the City of Eagan. Or I'm sorry, the City of Eden Prairie. The third is
the Triangle area?
That's correct, Golden Triangle.
Okay.
Third is Hennepin County, City of Minneapolis. That's the Rapid Park site.
Yeah, I see.
The fourth is the City of St. Paul. And that's the Cleveland Square site, or Cleveland Circle site. And those are considered the four that are fully developed.
But not in priority.
No, they're in alphabetic order.
Okay.
And we're recommending that those four receive an hour presentation time.
Okay.
The next five we're considering concept in nature and are recommending up to 20 minutes. The City of Burnsville, which is just a three-page letter. Senator Alan Anderson, which is the community ownership.
What's the Burnsville look like?
It's letterhead from the City of Burnsville.
You've got three trees up in the upper left-hand corner. It's just a...
Burnsville, yeah, okay.
And
is there two documents there, maybe?
Yes, a letter and a site map.
Okay. All right.
The second of the five concept pieces is Senator Ellen Anderson, which is the community ownership. The third is from Representative Hackbarth, which is the gaming proposal. The fourth is Chris Morn / Parks Real Estate, which is an Eagan site.
It's the Lost Spur Country Club.
Oh, okay.
What's that one look like yet?
John, what does the book look like? I don't remember.
We're pulling it up. I don't recall the cover as much.
It's got a blue binder.
Blue binder on the left-hand side.
Country Club?
Yep, it says Osmond Shrine.
And right. One thing that distinguishes that for the other Eagan proposal is they actually have the permission of the landowners and the site control.
Okay.
And then the last of the concepts is the Richard Wolfgram, which is the two stadiums sharing one roof.
Okay, yeah.
And you'll have to excuse staff. We've been milling through these all weekend, so I think we've become intimately familiar with these submittals, and you'll have to just slow us down if we get too far ahead of you.
John, this is Scott. Can I ask a question? You had sent out some of these concept proposals. There's 9 of them, so you have further screened the 9 from your email down to 5?
Yes.
That correct?
But, Scott, if you want to hear more of those 9.
No, I don't. I prefer having a shorter list and focusing.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to understand how we got from the, you know, from the 9 to the 5, just more of the process. But
yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Part of it was a concern I expressed about, for example, the Fort Snelling site. It has a wide variety of site owners. Most of them aren't anxious to have it there. They don't have site control. There's some question in the consultants as whether it's large enough. It's interesting, but it doesn't appear to be workable. The
I got one question. It's Tom Rosen.
Yes, Tom.
Panning and Gold Country.
That's a close call. They don't have site control either, but the railroad we know has some interest.
Well,
and it's somewhat creative in that it adds to the U of M site and may combine joint football.
Absolutely.
We're certainly open to adding that if you...
Site takes care of the U's desire to be by the U.
Mm-hmm.
It also gets, I think, eventually it's going to be our desire to have one stadium instead of two. And it's, I think, a perfect spot.
Let's add it then, John.
Which one is that again, please?
It's called Panning in Gold Country. What's the gentleman's name, John?
James Chinquist.
And it adds the Great Northern Rail Yards and potentially one of the grain elevators to the university's current stadium idea. It's adjacent to the state to the.
This is Amy. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do we have a staff summary of that one?
Yes,
we do.
And John, how is the staff summary headlined?
It's headlined James Chinquist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, I found it.
Mr. Chair, could I make a staff recommendation for process at this point?
Yes, please.
Could we proceed through the agenda by looking at the fully developed ones and then talk more about
the... And then we'll talk more about the... I don't think there's any debate that we are going to hear the 4 fully developed ones. But just so we know what we're getting into, why don't you go through them briefly or do your analysis?
Yes, Brian's going to do the... a brief analysis of the 4 fully developed proposals.
This is Brian Steves. I think that the reason to do this is primarily it helps you walk through some of these evaluation worksheets that we just sent out to you, I think, on Saturday. But also, hopefully, I'll try to highlight some of the issues that consultants identified so that you can better prepare questions for the presentations when they occur tomorrow. It should help you in that process. First, we'll start with the Anoka County / City of Blaine proposal. This proposal is a suburban location on 740 acres. The one thing that wasn't addressed in the proposal is site control, and so I think that there would need to be some clarification on site control for the 490 that they're proposing to be developed or the 740 in total. The building orientation that they proposed would only allow a fixed roof football stadium, which is what they're proposing, but it would not be possible in the building orientation that they are proposing to build it without a roof, according to the consultants. Another point to keep in mind with the Anoka County proposal is that it has very shallow groundwater, and the consultants indicated that in some instances, a football stadium can save significant costs by actually placing the field a little bit below grade, and in this site, the likelihood would be that they wouldn't be able to do that. They would actually have to build the stadium on grade, and so that would have to be accounted for in the cost of the project.
I got one question. You know, somebody had a proposal on the old Twin City Arsenal up there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Arden Hills.
That I thought was a wide open piece of ground. What did you think of that? I mean, I don't know. The proposal is so hot, but the piece of ground would be pretty good.
Let, let them, when we get to the concepts, we can find that one.
All right.
That's one where the U.S. Army and the city and the Minnesota National Guard and the Postal Service are all involved in current negotiations. And there's also fairly considerable site pollution, Tom, but it may still be worth pursuing.
I think the county's involved in that too, Commissioner.
Okay.
This is Jamie Besh, and I have a question about this, a clarification about Brian's comment about the roof. Can we, in this particular proposal, it can only be a fixed roof. It can't be without a roof or a retractable roof. Is that what I understand?
Brian?
It could be a retractable roof.
Okay.
It was, the consultants indicated that it wouldn't be able to be an open-air stadium in the way the configuration was.
Is that because of sun angles?
Right.
Okay. And even with it would bear discussion with a retractable roof if the sun angles are problematic.
Right.
Thank you.
Just to wrap up this one, the proposal is calling for more than 2 million square feet of speculative office and retail space, and I think the consultants were just a little bit concerned about the need for a market review to determine whether that was actually feasible and some discussion on project phasing and how that project would be phased out and kind of over what time frame. And kind of tied in with that, because a large amount of the proposal rests on the sale of private development rights, that project phasing becomes very important to the financing of the stadium deal. And then moving on to their financing, Anoka County is and the City of Blaine are proposing $240 million in locally generated financing for the project. That would come through a variety of taxes. They include sales and use taxes, food and beverage taxes, lodging taxes, parking taxes, ticket taxes, and tax increment financing. And then the county and city have been working with Krauss Anderson and Hammes companies to work out an arrangement where they would, for an equity contribution to the project, that they would secure development rights for that additional land and for those additional office, retail, and housing uses.
I have a quick question. This is Lisa Phelan.
Yes.
Steve Kelly at our last meeting had asked that the financing be presented, I think, wasn't it, in a couple of different ways? And I'm wondering if that request had been accommodated in the analysis.
We did modify the evaluation worksheet somewhat substantially, partly because of the way in which proposals came in. There were only four proposals, the ones that we're discussing here initially, that actually outlined in any detail the sources and uses of funding, and to a large extent didn't outline the uses very much, and so we really went to an evaluation sheet that focused more on just outlining the sources of funding that they were recommending.
Thank you.
Then lastly, this proposal does at least allude to the fact that there would need to be a state of Minnesota contribution and a team contribution as well to the project. They also
we can have a discussion as to whether that state is capital S, meaning government, or small S, meaning community. That's the place where permanent seat licenses or others may be the correct approach. But that's a debatable discussion.
Right.
I have a really quick question. This is Marilyn Porter. You've referred a lot to the consultants' comments. Now, will we be privy to those comments tomorrow? Would that all be a part of that presentation, more in-depth, more detail?
These evaluation sheets are the result of discussions with the consultants. We were basically taking feedback. We sat down with the consultants, reviewed all the proposals, and then used their feedback to generate these evaluation worksheets that you see in front of you.
But they will be there tomorrow. At least I know that HOK and SRF, the traffic folks, and the site engineers will be there.
Okay.
And so if we have questions about soil conditions or the sun orientation, we can surely ask them.
All right, great. Thank you.
But we didn't want to pay for them to write the detailed reports they would have loved to have written for us.
Also, we have time built in on Wednesday for question and answers with the consultants from the committee. So there will be time in the agenda for that after all the presentations are heard.
Brian, Scott, as I understand the proposal, just so I'm clear, this does not accommodate any type of tandem stadium should a concept be tried to lay into this piece of land. Is that correct?
The Anoka County proposal, the consultants indicated that there is certainly enough room to build two adjoining or co-located stadiums on that land, but that was not the proposal by the county and city.
But Scott, this is Dan McElroy. That would not be that would be a very appropriate question to ask them. And then you also might want to ask HOK, in their view, you know, what implications does that have? But that's a good reason to go through these because we can find those questions.
Okay.
I think I'll move on to the Eden Prairie and Eden Prairie Chamber of Commerce proposal. This proposal is a suburban location. I think people may be familiar with it. It's near Interstate 494, Highway 169, and Highway 212. This is a 400-acre site that's known as the Golden Triangle in Eden Prairie. It's owned by multiple entities, and 87 acres of that 400 are currently for sale, the largest of which is the former Best Buy corporate headquarters. This site does meet the site criteria, but I think the consultants wanted to get a better understanding of the developable area within that 400 acres. There is some, on the aerial photos, the consultants picked up that there are some wetlands in that 400 acres, and they need to determine the extent of those wetlands and then derive the developable area from that. A couple of the other highlights, and you'll notice I'm not reading everything that's on your sheet. I'm just trying to pick out a few of the highlights and maybe things that you want to follow up on with the respondents. On the parking and infrastructure issue, the city indicates that there's 30,000 parking stalls within a one-mile radius. The issue with that is that they may not all be suitable for a shared parking arrangement. It's implied that that would be sufficient parking to serve a stadium. The problem is the pedestrian movement. A lot of the parking stalls that are available are industrial or semi-industrial properties, and the pedestrian access from those parking lots to a stadium facility might be difficult. The other thing that the consultants noted was that the land has been developed in a very vehicular-based pattern, and the ability to have a walkable type development might not be possible in this location, or would have to be something that that is addressed. Finally, what Eden Prairie suggests for a financing package is a regional or statewide sales tax. They didn't develop the financing plan any further than that, but just suggested that a sales tax increase would be the way to finance a stadium.
Brian, can I have a clarification on that? That was in a few of these proposals, even some that were not entertaining. What would be the revenue potential generated from that? Is it enough?
Well, a regional seven-county metropolitan area sales tax is very powerful because of the large tax base, and we can give you the exact number, but my recollection is a 0.5% regional sales tax raises $183 million a year.
Okay.
And so that three or four years would make a reasonable public contribution to two stadiums.
Okay.
There'll be lots of policy questions around that, but the numbers are impressive.
Don Gertesmeyer, someplace in all this material, Commissioner, the sales tax is laid out.
Yes.
You know, 0.5%, or whatever, a 0.25%. So yeah, it's in here somewhere.
There is a summary, I think, in the material we got at the first meeting in
December 9th.
The December 9th, the staff meeting, they laid out all of that stuff down.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can get more. One thing I don't think was in that was a motel tax only in the metro area, and we'll have that number tomorrow for you also.
Would that also include, this is Annette Meeks, rental car tax?
That was in the, good morning, Annette, Dan McElroy. That was in the original number. I don't recall the number, but John or Brian, I think the rental car was in the first summary, wasn't it?
I'll go back and review. Thank you.
Well, we'll review it again tomorrow.
This is Roger Mull.
Good morning,
Mr. Chairman. I didn't have a chance to go through all of these, but it did on occasion come across some ideas for financing that might make sense in a different proposal. Is staff going to, or would staff maybe just lay out all of those possible options? It may end up being we may select a site, but then select financing off of a menu of options that have been suggested.
John, I believe Mike Roloffs was developing a matrix just like that. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we're hoping to have that available for Wednesday's meeting. Due to the holiday, revenue is not here today, and so we're trying to get it for Wednesday.
Thank you.
This is Mary Brainerd. I was just hoping that we could make sure at that time it also includes a casino and gaming options. That was probably the one piece of this that I still, several of the proposals that I wasn't sure whether I was looking at good estimates or not.
Yes, and related to that topic, we do not necessarily have any gaming experts in state government, aside from what the lottery has done over the last few sessions where this was part of a legislative bill. We will try to work on that. Unfortunately, we might not have as much clarity on those numbers as we or you would like.
Well, and they are a little subject to debate. Each of the proponents, I'm told, will have a number. But the lottery did some work only on the Racino at Canterbury Downs. And they used Prairie Meadows in Des Moines as their kind of model, and those numbers are available. What a non-racetrack, more kind of fully developed casino might generate, I think, is subject to some debate, but we'll have enough numbers to talk about.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hackbarth, for example, had numbers,
yeah.
And the Clute construction proposal has some numbers. All right, Brian.
Okay, the Hennepin County City of Minneapolis proposal, they are recommending an urban ballpark adjacent to the Target Center on what is known as the Rapid Park site. This site is actually controlled by a willing seller who supports the ballpark project, and I think it was reported in the newspaper this weekend has come close or is close to terms with the city for a sale of that parcel to the city. The facility does allow, the orientation allows views of downtown from a baseball park at that location. It would be well served by transit, LRT, and potentially North Star commuter rail. It has adjacent parking already in place that is sufficient. And the one note about it is, the St. Paul site, it is a complicated site development. There would be potentially utility issues or other issues that because it's a tight site that is heavily developed around it, it would be a complicated site to develop. The city suggests that there's possibility for mixed use development surrounding the site. I know that the developers who own the site have floated the idea of a Twinsville concept with housing. Moving on to financing, the county is recommending that the county would back bonds of $308 million through a combination of lodging taxes, food and beverage taxes, and general sales taxes. The fact that they're county-backed bonds actually is important when it comes to governance. The county would sell the bonds and back the bonds with its taxes in this scenario, and then have a separate ballpark commission that would not be controlled by the county. That allows the bonds to be tax-exempt, and when we get to the St. Paul proposal, I'll point out how that's a little different in that case. Here, in addition to the $308 million, the City of Minneapolis would contribute $7 million, the team at $120 million, and then the State of Minnesota at $100 million. And I think, unless there's questions on that one, I'll move on to the St. Paul right away.
This is Mary. Just quickly, are there any referendum issues that this proposal would face?
Mr. Chair, would you like me to respond to that, or would you like to?
Well, I think we should answer the question, did Hennepin County or Minneapolis propose a referendum? But then, Mary, it would be up to our committee for a recommendation, for the governor for his recommendation to the legislature, and finally to the legislature as to what was authorized. But my understanding is that the proposal does not mention referendum. Is that correct, Brian?
That's correct.
That's what I thought I read. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And
this is Lauren Solberg, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Lauren.
In reading the synopsis of it, of the financial review, it does say this would be authorized through a public referendum.
Oh, I didn't see that. Thank you.
Unless I'm on the wrong page.
No, this is Marilyn Porter. I think I read the same thing. So.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I think it was Senator Moe brought up that's such an advantage of this process, we can kind of mix and match. If one were called for a referendum and it were our recommendation that if those sites are further considered by the governor or the legislature and we want to, you know, that's a criteria for this group, we can certainly make it such.
I think that the referendum question is something we should ask. We should ask tomorrow. I'm still not clear that it was in the proposal, so I think we should ask that.
Norsby here. Got a question.
Please go ahead.
The state of Minnesota, $100 million. They don't say. Would that be general obligation bond?
They don't say, and as you've heard me say, the governor wouldn't support general obligation bonds. My belief is that should be a small S, and that we would look to fan contribution, as has been done in most football proposals, probably in the form of permanent seat licenses.
But seeing as our role is simply to recommend to the governor, that would seem to preclude that piece of the financing package.
Well, we can surely discuss that further on Wednesday.
Okay.
But,
Mr. Chairman, this is Cal Larson. I have to go to another meeting, but we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Cal.
Bye.
Mr. Chairman, Annette Meeks. A
yes,
question
good morning,
on the $100 million state contribution, could that be derived from another source? For instance, I think Safeco Field had 4 specially designed lottery tickets that helped finance the construction of those fields.
Lottery tickets in Minnesota are more complex because of our constitutional amendment that dedicates 40% to the Environmental Trust Fund. And so unless a constitutional amendment were done to create different source, that makes it more complicated. And the legislature in the past has been hesitant to do dedicated games, but it certainly could be proposed and discussed.
Okay. Thank you.
It was discussed in 97, and I'm not sure what happened to it in the Senate. In the House, it was amended out of the bill. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. The City of St. Paul's proposal is also a complicated development project. It would kind of tuck in by the Xcel Energy Center on a site known as the Cleveland Circle site. This would be an urban ballpark and would require some site assembly. I know that the City of St. Paul is already in discussions with those entities that they would need to acquire property from. The orientation of this ballpark would also allow views of downtown, at this time downtown St. Paul, not downtown Minneapolis. The site is well served by transit, and the parking, like the City of Minneapolis, is also in place already. And they would also be building, there's a separate project underway that they are already building a ramp that would be adjacent to this site that could serve the ballpark. This site also has potential to further spur housing and retail development in the area. And moving on to the financing package, in this case, the City of St. Paul is recommending $214 million in state revenue bonds, state of Minnesota revenue bonds, that would be backed by a 3% citywide food and beverage tax and parking surcharge. The difference here is that the bonds that St. Paul is recommending could also be tax exempt, but only because the state would be issuing the bonds. Bonds can only be tax exempt for private use if they're issued by an entity not under control of the city that's generating the revenue to back them. It's kind of a complicated rule, but in this case, the City of St. Paul, because they're proposing to own the stadium, and they're generating the revenue to back the bonds would actually have to be issued by another entity that the city does not have control over. And so that's why they're recommending that the bonds be backed by the state of, or be issued by the state of Minnesota.
Can I ask a question on this with Lawrence Opry again? Could those bonds be issued by things like the Port Authority, or are they controlled by the city?
That could be structured, that's subject to negotiation and debate, Lauren. It's been done in all manner of ways across the country. A lot of them are stadium authorities. There may be one that was an existing Port Authority. There's one I know of that's a county. There are a lot of options.
Okay.
The trend, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a lot of them that were newly created authorities.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
And those are able to generate general revenue bonds?
No, they're special revenue, specific revenue bonds, non-general obligation.
Okay.
Usually from local beneficiary or proximity taxes.
The financing plan proposed by the City of St. Paul also calls for $44 million from a 2.7% car rental tax in both Hennepin and Ramsey counties. It calls for $40 million in cash up front from the team, and then $180 million over 30 years through lease payments. The present value of that $180 million is $80 million using a 5% discount rate. The Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission would contribute $6 million under this proposal, and they would also generate $34 million from private placement bonds. The state of Minnesota, how they would be involved in this package is that they would offer an upfront loan of $180 million at zero interest, and then the state would be receiving the lease payments that were being paid by the team. So, in effect, because the value of those lease payments is $80 million in present terms, and the state would be putting $180 million in the loan up front, the net state investment is $100 million. And so that's, I think, the gist of that proposal. Are there any questions about the St. Paul one?
With that, I'd like to make the staff recommendation that those four be given 1 hour for presentation time.
John, let's make clear that's presentation and questions.
Yes, that would be in totality,
right.
Presentation and questions.
Anybody want to propose a change to that, or anybody?
Is that 15 minutes each?
No, that's an hour each.
Oh, an hour each, okay.
I think that's a good plan.
Yes, and if it's this is Roger Moe. If it's at all possible, if we could do those, all of them tomorrow, either, split them 2 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon or whatever. But
I'm planning to do those 4 first.
Great.
And
great.
Take a break, and I think one's after lunch, but we'll get those done first.
Good.
Great.
Actually, Mr. Chair,
yes.
What staff was thinking is that we would do the St. Paul and Minneapolis baseball ones in the morning and then the Anoka and Eden Prairie ones right after lunch.
Okay. And would there be anything in between those?
Yes, there would be. There would be a couple of site-only ones in between those.
Okay. That's
good.
Fine.
Good.
We'll get them all done tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. So we'll consider that part of the agenda adopted. John, do you want to go ahead with the concepts?
Yes, I'll have Brian walk through the concepts that are being recommended by staff.
The City of Burnsville is recommending a 175-acre site that's adjacent to the Minnesota River. There's also 27 acres available, but it's across the roadway. According to the consultants, this could only be considered for a baseball-only proposal. There would be not enough land available to consider either a dual stadium or a football-only stadium. The issues with this site include the fact that it has limited road capacity. It's not currently served by transit, but there are some possibilities of service out of the Burnsville Transit Center. The consultants indicated that we would need to get a better handle on the potential flooding that may exist at this site or the potential for flooding in the future. And also there was an issue about the fact that this is a former landfill site, and there may be some issues with ongoing landfill gas and hazardous substance issues in the future. The consultants also indicated that because there's limited availability of land for ancillary development, that the financing plan at this site should rely solely on the on the stadium itself and not on any kind of a development rights deal similar to what Anoka County recommended.
Just a quick question for committee members. To respect your time, we've allocated this call to go for 40 minutes, but we hope to get a decision, I think we need to go a little bit longer. How much do you want staff to explain some of the details of these concept submittals?
It seems to me that the staff analyses that we got were really thorough. This is Lisa Phelan. I'm looking at them as you go through them, and
so we can go a little faster on these, Lisa?
Yeah.
I think so, Don Curtis.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
The only comment, this is Clarence Hightower, is that my office was not open on yesterday, so I did not get the staff analysis.
I see.
So can you have those available tomorrow?
Absolutely, and they're also on our website, Clarence.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chair, actually, we haven't had the technology or the technical support.
Oh, that's
to get
right.
Them on
okay,
there,
I'm sorry. But if, we will have them available. We can't get them up till tomorrow because the people who do that aren't working today. Sorry.
The email's available or not available then?
Email is available, but they won't be on the website till tomorrow.
From Saturday, right?
Yeah.
The ones you got Saturday.
Okay.
Can we email a copy to Clarence at home?
Clarence, you have email at home?
I do, and I can give it to you.
At the end, would you, John or Brian, would you get Clarence's home email?
Mr. Hightower, I'll follow up with you after the call.
Very good. Thanks.
Great.
This is Renee Diebold. I just have a question about the 40 minutes. Will that allow us enough presentation time for the Pan of Gold presentation as well?
Good question. Let's talk to staff. We may, I think so, and I want to treat them reasonably consistently, but if necessary, we can give them a little more time.
At this time, perhaps we'll just quickly just even get it on your radar what the highlights of these are, and then move to discussion as far as who should be in as far as concepts. Brian?
Senator Anderson recommended the public ownership bill that we talked about earlier in the call. The next on the list is James Chinquist. This is the Panning for Gold site. This is recommending the site in the southeast Minneapolis industrial area. The biggest issue here is that it's highly polluted, and there's a significant cost associated with removing grain elevators that would have to be removed in order for a stadium to be constructed there.
Would the consultants be able to provide us with an estimate?
The city of Minneapolis has actually done a master plan on this site, and it calls for a completely different style of development, but they have extensive estimates on the cost associated with redeveloping that land. And I think we can try and get those numbers from the city of Minneapolis. It is extremely expensive, though.
We've heard a site, for gold. Assembly number in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh.
Which site are you talking about?
This is the Panning for Gold site. The
Chinquist?
The
okay,
James
gotcha.
Chinquist.
You're talking about.
It's the
southeast Minneapolis. They built Camden Yards at a railroad yard.
Yeah. The big cost is in removing those elevators. Or a big cost. I think there are several costs.
That's absolutely true. And I think the city of Minneapolis representatives, if we ask them, kind of not during their time, but I think they can supply a great deal of information about that site.
So Scott, I have a question. This is one of those where this concept does not have site control, though. Is that
absolutely
correct?
This is just a concept.
Right.
You'll recall we had kind of taken it off our list, but I think because it's such an intriguing location, Tom Rosen asked that we add it back on, and we can decide that when we, among the group, when we get to the end of the list.
All right.
Representative Hackforth is recommending a gaming solution, as we talked about earlier in the call. The next one on the list is Chris Morn of Parks Real Estate. This is the Lossburg Country Club. It's a site totaling 74 acres, which doesn't meet the minimum site criteria for a typical suburban football stadium, but the consultants felt it did have some potential and warrants further investigation. There would be some ingress-egress issues, and the parking would have to be considered more thoroughly because not all of it could be provided on-site.
The reason that it's of some interest is because of the views of the Minnesota River Valley and a fairly convenient location. It's only on Highway 13 at the moment, but it could have a interchange added from 494 and is perhaps a mile and a half from 35E. And so it has some potential, but not without some challenges.
The last concept proposal that we're looking at is the one from Richard Wolfgram. This would co-locate two stadiums on the U of M St. Paul campus agricultural land. He indicates that it's a 50-acre site. There may actually be some additional land available. It would have to be something that would warrant further consideration. This one has some issues with accessibility. The consultants indicated that the highway interchanges are too far away from the site to be adequate. And they also indicated that the local road system could face some significant impacts from having two stadiums located at this site. The unique part about this proposal is that it would recommend co-locating two stadiums with one movable roof that would be shared between the two facilities.
And that is it for the staff.
Does that site involve any under control of the fairground?
It does not. The land is under the control of the University of Minnesota.
The old experimental farm up there.
I believe that's what he's proposing.
Right.
It is without the permission of the university.
Okay. This is Mary. I'm just wondering if there's a potential of, instead of asking him to talk a lot about the site and the option, if we could ask him, I believe he's an architect. We could ask him to talk more about the unique feature of the single retractable roof. I'm uncomfortable with some of the proposals that would be starting just from ground zero, and I'd like to try to get at the thing that's most valuable about each of these concepts.
I think that's a good suggestion. What are other people's thoughts about that one?
Well, this is Lawrence Oberg. I thought it was a very interesting concept of the design of it anyway.
Do you agree, though, Lauren, that this is Dan McElroy, that the emphasis should be on the architecture and not the site?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
This is Scott. I think some of this co-location is of interest, and in fact was in the Vikings letter that it was something that was of interest to them. I don't know that we've had much discussion on it, so I think the discussion of some of the architecture here would be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dan McElroy, and also the discussion of what facilities can be shared and thus not duplicated if the facilities are co-located.
Yeah.
Let me try to bring the issue to a question then. With the addition of the Chinquist panning for gold site, staff is recommending six concepts. Burnsville, Senator Ellen Anderson, Representative Tom Hackbar, Park Real Estate, Richard Wolfgram, with an emphasis on the architecture, not the site, and the Chinquist U of M rail yards grain elevator site. Are there any, how do people feel about that list? Any additions or deletions?
This is Jamie. I have a question about the City of Burnsville proposal. Have they done additional work on that? It strikes me, reading their very brief proposal, that they don't have much to present.
I think that's accurate. They know a lot because they've been to an environmental assessment worksheet on a 20,000-seat outdoor amphitheater on that site. They have not done any updating of that information to a stadium site.
Well, I guess my question is, if we do decide to separately site the stadium or a stadium separate from the fully developed proposals, if we have as much information as they have to give, does it warrant having them come present?
Yeah, that's a reasonable question.
Jamie, this is Mary. I shared that question. I'd want to know that there was something more here.
Okay.
On Friday, I did call the City of Burnsville and asked them if they had any further information. They said that they would be able to present probably for 5 to 10 minutes and then just take questions if they were given 20 minutes to present. And I think it's mainly to get a better discussion or understanding of the actual site and maybe some of the questions of what, as far as financing, could be in the realm of possibility for that community.
But if anyone would like to move that we delete it, it would not be unreasonable.
I'd like to move that we delete it.
It could be brought up later in the process at some other time, at post-legislative. Mm-hmm. It is the one intriguing thing about it is the potential for fans for baseball to come by river. But there's a lot of unknown involved also. Who was it that proposed deleting it?
Jamie.
Okay.
And this is Lisa. I'll second it if you need
to. So this is somewhat informal, but is there anyone who would object to deleting the Burnsville?
Yes, Northby here. I would oppose deleting Burnsville.
And this is Marilyn Porter. I would as well.
All right. It sounds like there's enough people that would like to hear it. Let's go ahead with, I'd kind of like to run this process somewhat by consensus. But John, we do want to limit them to no more than 20 minutes. Tell them what people's concerns were. And if we can do it in 10 or 15 minutes, that's even better.
Yes. Clarence Hightower, I have a different question.
Yeah, go ahead, Clarence.
Lost Spur is only 74 acres. What can we accomplish with 74 acres?
Brian, I know there was some consultant discussion of that. Can you get into that one?
The consultants did indicate that this would be an untraditional suburban site. They would almost have to develop this or use the site more as an urban stadium development, but on a suburban site. It's recommended as a football stadium. The orientation that they actually did some architectural drawings that you can see in your packet and some site layout. The orientation does work for an open-air stadium, football stadium. They basically squeeze 10,000 structured parking spaces on the site in their proposal, and they basically take up all the land with those structured parking spaces, leaving no additional space for what you'd typically see in a suburban style site with some pedestrian area and some other amenities. And so that would be the issue, and the other issue is the fact that the 10,000 spaces are not enough to accommodate the stadium, so there would have to be some additional work done on if there's additional land available for parking or if there's other ways to transport people to the site. The consultants did feel it was an intriguing site, though, because it was on the Minnesota River and did have some potential in it. It's an open space, and it's a single tract of land that's available because it's a former golf course site.
Clarence Hightower, if 175 acres in Burnsville is not enough for a football stadium, how can 74 acres be enough for a football stadium?
Brian?
I'm not sure. I think like what I was saying is that I guess the Burnsville site, if they were to try to pursue a football stadium on that site, they would have to do it in the same vein as what we were talking about in the Lost Spur. It would have to be an urban style football site. And I think that the bigger issue with the Burnsville site, from the consultant's perspective, was the issue of floodplain and flooding. I think that there's a more significant concern on the Burnsville site than there was on this Lost Spur site.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, this is Earl Santee. I did contact the Burnsville folks and talk to them about the site, and they assured me they would construct a levee to protect the site from the floodway and floodplain issues and would give us the acreage that they proposed. Additionally, I wanted to suggest to you on the Lost Spur site, I talked to Dave Lindell about it and asked him to consider. Well, actually, that would be Chris Morin, wouldn't it? Asked him to consider a broader land acquisition plan so that they could accommodate the traffic and parking requirements that are listed in the site criteria. So they're aware of their, I'll use the word loosely, deficiencies, and have suggested to them that they come Tuesday with ideas of how they might meet the criteria.
Would anyone, Clarence, were you suggesting that we delete that one?
I'm just interested in how we can make it work.
Yeah,
there is land available. It seems to be a greenfield site across the road there that, this guy's a developer that I would assume that he could, while he may not have control of it, at least he could identify a process where he could gain control and grow the property. The proposal as it is similar to Anoka, except for it's more developed. Has a higher density of development on it, higher density of parking on it, and it's a smaller site. It is a greenfield site, but it has kind of this destination plan that, it could be successful. That's why we thought it was interesting. It is clearly a different idea than some of the other ideas we've looked at.
Don Gertesmeyer, is that land on the other side of Highway 13 that you're talking about, is that part of the state park?
I couldn't tell you.
We'll have to find out from the city. I don't remember, Don. I think it may be, or the wildlife refuge.
It would be on the east side of 13.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
There may be some private land. We can find out from the city. Brian or John, can you call the city of Eagan, please?
Will do, sir.
All right. I hope they're working today. If not, we'll have to find out later. Hearing no other objections, I think we'll go ahead with these six. Is that satisfactory to people?
Yes.
Burnsville, Senator Anderson, Representative Hackbarth, Park Real Estate, Lost Spur, Richard Wolfgram, and John, let Richard know we want to concentrate on the architecture, not the site. And then the Gold Country site, including the cost issues.
Yes.
All right.
And with that, just as a point of information for committee members, we will be able to fit all of those presentations with Q&A into tomorrow's agenda, so that Wednesday will be left for discussion and deliberation as far as strategy, approach, and what the ultimate recommendation will be to the governor.
John, this is Jamie. Will we get an agenda that lists the order of presentations then?
Yes. Right after this call, I will work on that and should get that to you by email within the hour.
Super. Thank you.
All right, John, is there any other business to come before this call?
Just a reminder that the meeting starts at 8:30 promptly. We'll have a heavy agenda for tomorrow with presentations and Q&A, and then also that lunch will be on your own tomorrow. So bag it if you can or if you'd like to. Otherwise, there are some convenient cafeterias in the state capital complex that you can avail yourself to.
And, Tom, I apologize for that. We had hoped to bring in lunch, and the House office building no longer allows food to be served in any of those rooms.
Can you do this? Can you get, like, some water or pop? I mean, you know.
You bet.
But, you know, can we have something like that?
Yes. Well, John, will you take care of that? And the.
Yes, sir.
We'll use the commissioner's discretionary money to pay for it.
Sure, now that you're no longer going to be commissioner.
I'm going to spend all the commissioner's money before he leaves.
I think Commissioner Ingerson will probably agree to that.
Okay.
If not, I'll have to negotiate it with him.
Good luck.
Thank you. Yes, you know that that's a tall order.
That is.
Indeed, but a good one. Any other business?
John, will you have parking information, too? Do we just stop and get the parking permits like before?
Parking should have been sent to you late last week, your address. I have some extra ones. I will leave extra parking passes at the reception desk here in the Centennial Office Building, and you can pick them up
okay. If
you have not already received yours at home.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I'm hoping to be with you on Wednesday. I think I'm a little doubtful for tomorrow. We're working on arranging an alternate for me, and John will announce that probably with the agenda. I'm a little more under the weather than usual, if you can hear from my froggy voice, but I may be well enough to be there tomorrow. I don't want to be contagious with any. Well, I don't think I am contagious, but hopefully I'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you so much for your...
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. John, why don't you call me at home?
Yes, Commissioner.
All right, thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
John, this is Marilyn Porter.
No, I think he's hung up.